Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to the Midlife Rewired podcast. This is episode 20. This will be a solo podcast today. I wanted to talk a little bit about coronavirus and talk a little bit about crisis and vulnerability, and also just kind of share my story of being away in the U.S. during sort of when things kind of hit the fan. Obviously, coronavirus pandemic at this point has created a state of chaos, panic, and fear pretty much across the whole globe. I started thinking about doing this podcast when I was away, and it's funny because it's changed directions and focus several times. I kind of had an idea what I wanted to say, and then each day my sort of opinion on things kind of evolved and changed along with the condition. Yeah, so basically I left Canada for Miami, my family, on March 10th. There was a point before we left where there was some concern about canceling. If this trip had been 2 days later, we probably would have canceled because it was, I believe, March 12th that Donald Trump's big announcement came out, and it was a little bit vague, but he was closing borders, shutting flights down, and it was, you know, that basically created a lot of panic, and that's where things really started to go sideways. But the interesting thing was, it's, you know, it's spring break in Florida, and we were in kind of North Miami area, and there was tens of thousands of kids partying on the beach like nothing was going on at all, and basically everything was open, everything seemed normal. And despite everything seeming normal, you know, whenever I logged in to browse through social media, check some of the news things, it didn't take very long to sort of kind of lose a little bit of that optimism. So I actually doubled down on my meditation and my reflection on this trip from the get-go. I had planned to do that anyway, but the resilience that created for me gave me some strength and gave me some balance and peace, and found some, you know, stillness amongst the chaos to make sure that my family felt safe and that everything seemed kosher, that I had everything under control, you know, despite the unknowns. But I'm not one to subscribe to the fear so much and let that get in. So we spent, I guess, 4 days in Miami. We plan on spending most of the week there. Once things started kind of escalating, then we heard about restaurants starting to close and things were being shut down, even though, again, it seemed very normal. It's interesting when if you're at home watching the news versus being out there somewhere, what reality is and what the perception of reality is quite different. So we decided to head down to Isla Mirada in the Florida Keys. I have a friend who has a place there, and we had discussed potentially going down there for maybe a day trip, but he said, why don't you just come on down and hang out here until you have to head back? And there was no known cases of coronavirus in the Keys at this time. And it's also a pretty quiet place, you know, far removed from Miami or Fort Lauderdale, where there's still lots of spring break madness happening, just to get away from the people. And, man, I'm sure we're glad we did get down there. You know, again, without the social media, without the news, without those two or three people in your circle that you pretty much become obsessed with the statistics of what's going on, it felt absolutely peaceful down there. Our kids saw manatees, and sharks, and eels, and lobsters, and crabs, and groupers, like all from the dock. We even caught a shark off the dock, so it was really cool. We continued to be diligent, and we were constantly swabbing the kids' hands in alcohol and taking all the precautions that we needed to take, trying to really limit our exposure. And then on Monday of this week, today is March 18th, Justin Trudeau made that announcement to basically restrict the border even further and, you know, encourage everyone to come home. So we were ready to come home at this point. in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't let fear in. I'm glad we stayed present in the moment. We stayed diligent and, you know, enjoyed our experience for the most. But what really struck me about this is how quickly our society can devolve when fear takes over. You know, and the scarcity mindset of clearing shelves and crawling over each other for a fucking toilet paper is really something to observe. And it shows a lot about the fear and the underlying things in our humanity. And it's really fascinating to observe this and to see how people react when the delicate balance of order just sort of shifts into chaos. And it's like chaos is always right there, just under the surface. I think we have a false belief that the world will remain as we see it forever, almost. It's funny because, you know, I've heard people say, well, things should be returned to normal in 6 months. But really, what is normal? You know, everything on this planet is in a constant state of change. Impermanence is the constant of the universe. And as people, we often attach or cling to that comfortable familiar. But things will never be the same, and they never are. But it's going to be really interesting as we enter the unknown on this one, because this is a completely different animal than what we've experienced in the past. So there's two words that resonate with me in this environment: crisis and vulnerability. And I happen to be carrying a beautiful book with me on this trip that my friend Gary recommended, called Consolations: The Solace, Nourishment, and Underlining Meaning of Everyday Words. The book is written by David White. I must give this guy credit. His way with words is unbelievable. And both of the words, crisis and vulnerability, really struck a chord within me when I read them. I'm going to read through this, or maybe we can call it bumble and mumble my way through it, but I hope that there's something in there that resonates with you too, and you can see the beauty inside each of these words. Crisis is unavoidable. Every human life seems to be drawn eventually, as if some unspoken parallel, some tidal flow, or underground magnetic field towards the raw, dynamic essentials of its existence, as if everything up to that point had been a preparation for a meeting, for a confrontation in an elemental form with our essential flaw, and with what an individual could then only receive stepped down, interpreted, or diluted. This experience of absolute contact with an essential hidden dynamic, now understood to be an essential to our lives, often ignored but now making itself felt, where the touchable rawness of life becomes part of the fabric of every day. A robust, luminous vulnerability becomes shot through with necessity. Imminent and inevitable prospect of loss has been described for centuries as a dark night of the soul. But perhaps this dark night could be more accurately described as the meeting of two immense storm fronts, the squally vulnerable edge between what overwhelms human beings from the inside and what overpowers them from the outside. The waveform that overwhelms a maturing human being from the inside is the inescapable nature of their own flaws and weaknesses, their self-deceptions, and their attempts to create false names and stories to place themselves in the world. The felt need to control the narrative of the story around them with no regard to outside revelation. The immense wave of the outside is the invitation to give up the self, to be borne off by the wave and renewed, revealed, reordered by the powerful flow. Walking the pilgrim edge between the two, holding them together, is the hardest place to stay. To breathe both and make both worlds active in their exchange, aware that our need to be needed, our wish to be seen, our constant need for help and succor, but inhabiting a world of luminosity and intensity, subject to the wind and weather, surrounding by the music of existence, able to be found by living world, and with a wild, self-forgetful ability to respond to its call when needed. A rehearsal for the act of dying, a place where inside and outside can reverse and flow with no fixed form. Vulnerability is not a weakness, a passing indisposition, or something we can arrange to do without. Vulnerability is not a choice. Vulnerability is the underlining, ever-present, and abiding undercurrent of our natural state. I'm going to read that one again because this really hits home for me. Vulnerability is the underlining, ever-present, and abiding undercurrent of our natural state. To run from vulnerability is to run from the essence of our nature. The attempt to be invulnerable is the vain attempt to become something we are not, and most especially, to close off our understanding of the grief of others. More seriously, in refusing our vulnerability, we refuse the help needed at every turn of our existence and immobilize the essential title and conversational foundations of our identity. To have a temporary, isolated sense of power over all events and circumstances is a lovely, illusionary privilege, and perhaps the prime and most beautifully constructed conceit of human being, especially of the youthful human. But it is a privilege that must be surrendered with that same youth, with ill health, with accident, with loss of loved ones who do not share our untouchable powers. Power eventually, and the most empathetic, given up as we approach our last breath. The only choice we have as we mature is how we inhabit our invulnerability, how we become larger and more courageous and more compassionate through our intimacy with disappearance. Our choice is to inhabit vulnerability as a generous citizen of loss, robustly and fully, or conversely as misers and complainers, reluctant and fearful, always at the gates of existence, but never bravely, completely attempting to enter, never wanting to risk ourselves, never walking fully through the door. I have a lot of compassion for those who are affected by this virus pandemic, physically and emotionally. I mean, this will affect everybody financially, and it's going to change the way we live our lives, in some case dramatically, at least for now, but I believe ongoing. I have compassion for all the people suffering. The fallout from this is yet to be determined. But be kind to one another. Be kind to yourself while we weather this storm. Be patient with those who are not able to see beyond their fear. This is a lesson I took away from all this. You know, it's hard to understand why someone would line up for hours to buy carts of toilet paper. But when you look closer, it's just fear. You know, this is a good time to take inventory on your life. What really matters, and realize it's all temporary. You know, we all think we're going to live forever, but we don't. And life is a gift. So maybe a pandemic is what we need to better understand this. This might be a great opportunity to organize the space in your home. Make sure your supplies are in check. Make sure your finances are in place. Maybe this is a good time to create new habits. You know, how can we be better as individuals and as a collective human race going forward? And this is not the first crisis that we have survived, and it certainly won't be the last. Maybe this is a wake-up call to live the life you're truly meant to live, with purpose. Maybe this is an opportunity to see that life is truly fragile, that every moment matters. And maybe this wake-up call is not to take our lives for granted, practice gratitude in our daily routines, because life happens for us, not to us. Be conscious and aware. Just breathe, and if you ever consider meditation, now is the time to start. You should have plenty of time if you're quarantined at home, and you don't need any equipment for this. It's all built in. When someone brings panic to you, respond with calm. Be calm, but be prepared and diligent. We are yet to know the impact of this, but what I can say for sure is that we have no control over what is going to happen in the world or what other people do. The only thing we can ever control is just the way how we respond to that. And by respond, I mean respond, not react. Perhaps this is an opportunity for a fresh start. And as the saying goes, life goes on, and this too shall pass. Wishing everybody a safe quarantine, safe pandemic. And I mentioned in my social media post, if you happen to be listening to this, if there's anything I can do to help in terms of helping you deal with stress or potentially curbing your anxiety or even your boredom, reach out to me. Reach out to me and I'll volunteer my time to help you. We all need to work together right now and take care of each other. Be kind. I love you. Peace out.